News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, and good to have you along. Hey, by the way, if you're looking for an easy way to get out of town, Breeze Airways, they've got your ticket at Mobile International Airport. With their new schedule, it's never been easier to plan a quick getaway. Nonstop flights to Orlando take off every Friday and Monday. And here's the best part. Flights starting at as low as $39 one way. That's pretty cool. Breeze Airways is known for its seriously nice flights, combining affordable prices with comfort and ease. Flights are on the Airbus A220, made right here in Mobile, right out by the airport. All of the fun in Orlando, just an hour away from the new airport, just minutes from downtown Mobile. And again, the big news is Breeze Airways now offering flights on Fridays and Mondays, perfect for the weekend trips or maybe a quick trip to kick off your week, and starting as low as $39 one way, making travel more accessible and certainly budget-friendly as well. Book your flight today at flybreeze.com. Hassle-free direct flights from Mobile International to Orlando with a flight time in the air, just about 1 hour. Nice. And starting at just $39 one way, go to flybreeze.com. That's FlyBreeze.com. And there you go.
A couple updates for you really quick, and then we'll get to Quinn Hillier here, as we do every Tuesday. As Kane noted there on his traffic update, looks like a pretty bad wreck, or at least one that's going to tie traffic up for some time. That's on I-10 eastbound, the underpass at River Duchesne. Things very slowly moving I-10 eastbound there, so be aware of that this morning. And then, well, you have to be wary of traffic at all these different polling places. As we've been going through the text this morning, these polling places seems like massive turnout to this point. Big Angie says, I drive a dump truck and seeing churches packed all the way down from Schillinger to Bell Fountain at the four-way stop is packed out. Cars parked everywhere. Be careful if you're headed to the island. It sounds like be careful if you're headed anywhere that has a polling place in the in the area, because things are packed out this morning. And that's a good thing for democracy. Right, Quinn Hillier? Let's see. He might be on the other line there. I think that's what.
Oh, okay.
A little switcheroo. Hey, right. Quinn.
What's up, Quinn?
Yes, indeed.
So, big turnout, at least from our texters who are going to their usual polling places. It's good news. We get good weather. At least for the presidential, it's pretty decided which way Alabama will go. But, of course, we have some big, at least one big congressional race, and then plenty of other things on the ballots all across the state.
Yes, lots and lots of races across the state,
mm-hmm.
Most of them local. Of course, we've got a couple of congressional races in this area. Only one of them is seriously contested, that being the Shamari Figures Caroline Dobson race, and that could be a barn burner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea how that one's going to go, Quinn. I don't know how the presidential will go, and I don't know how all these close House and Senate races will go. I think we're in for a lot of surprises, but let's start with this race that covers parts of Mobile County and stretches all the way to the Georgia line, this newly redrawn District 2. Caroline Dobson's put in the work. So has Shamari Figures, but we knew this would be a tight race going in. We haven't gotten a whole lot of polling information, so it's kind of a crapshoot heading into tonight.
It is. And first of all, let me just restate, this district should not exist. The courts completely screwed up and really rooked Alabama. It's an abomination of a district that makes no sense. But be that as it may. Oh, and you can blame Republican judges as well, like Kavanaugh and Roberts, for doing this to
mm-hmm.
us. Be that as it may, this is a district that, by current configuration, has a Democratic registration edge. It's about 55-56% Democratic registration. It's got a voting history, if you extrapolate from previous elections. It's got a voting history that leans a little bit Democrat. On the other hand, Alabama is going so heavily for Trump, and there's really not much to bring out Democrats other than this race. So people think that there will, and probably rightly, that more Republican-leaning voters are likely to turn out than Democratic-leaning voters just because of what else is on the ballot. So that being said, that brings it almost even. Both candidates have run spirited campaigns, and the question is, does the registration edge for Shamari Figures, a Democrat, hold, or does the turnout edge for Dobson, the Republican, mm-hmm. hold? Most people seem to think, I mean, and this is, you know, sort of guesswork, that Figures has a slight edge going in, but it's close enough that, you know, that either way, you know, I mean, that it could go either way.
Yeah, and we hear from our listeners that turnouts in their areas are very strong this morning, suggesting if their areas are
in that
Republicans,
district.
Yeah. Just that it looks like a lot of people are turning out for Trump. And therefore, if they are in that district, that certainly would be better news for Caroline Dobson.
Exactly, except you don't, some of the places that are turning out that you're reporting so far, those are in the first congressional district.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Of course, they've divided Mobile County, which was one reason that I objected so strongly to this district.
Mm-hmm.
So what matters is where the turnout
yes.
is. And again, we'll find out tonight, but I've got to hand it to both candidates. They got a little negative, but it wasn't a really nasty race like some of them. And, you know, both have run spirited, mostly positive campaigns, and they've offered voters a contrast. So let's see who wins.
Let's see. And we don't have time to talk about it now. We're talking election, but the Supreme Court yesterday saying they're going to look at a Louisiana map, and it is the exact same scenario that we're dealing with, this newly redrawn AL2, the map as they have it now in Louisiana has, this one district has both Baton Rouge and Shreveport in it, I believe.
Hmm.
So some strange lines out there these days. We'll get into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let me talk to you, say something about the Louisiana map. The Alabama map is bad. The Louisiana map is worse than bad. It's atrocious. Now, you want to talk about a racial gerrymander, it is a racial gerrymander. The difference is it was court ordered in order to get rid of a different racial gerrymander. In Alabama, we didn't really have a racial gerrymander, so the court shouldn't have stepped in. Louisiana took a bad thing and made it worse, and now the courts have got to figure out, okay, well, when we made them do something and they made it worse, where does that leave us? It's all very, very complicated, but I've got to say the courts all the way up and down the line have made a mess of mm-hmm. redistricting nationwide.
Yeah, I'm looking at a map of Louisiana, Shreveport to Baton Rouge is about a four-hour drive.
Yeah,
and they've got them jammed in the same congressional district, Quinn?
Well, but we're in the same congressional district here in Mobile as some people in Phoenix City.
Right. No.
And in Eufaula, both of them on the Georgia state line.
Yeah, you're right.
Absurd, but those are the rules today, and today's the day where you get out and vote. So, that is considered a close house race, Dobson and Figures. Most sites that I've seen, Quinn, have that leaning Democrat, but there's a ton of house races that are toss-ups. The Wall Street Journal has, 11 leaning Republican, 15 toss-ups, and then another 15 leaning Democrat. And then in the Senate, there's at least 9 or 10 really competitive races. A number of things could happen today that affect who controls what, or we could be looking at Republican-Democrat gridlock, depending on how these votes turn out.
Well, exactly. And look, if I could be dishonest for a day, I'd love the ability to go to Pennsylvania and cast 70,000 votes for Dave McCormick, the Republican running for Senate there. Can anybody please give me the power to cast 70,000 votes? Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania is probably the prime example of a very strong slate of Senate, of Republican U.S. Senate candidates in about seven different states.
Mm.
And if anybody really cares about, you know, sort of protecting the Constitution, you need most of these Republican Senate candidates to win. Not all of them. There are a couple of them that I think are terrible. But Dave McCormick, just one example of the quality that they've got. This man, West Point, Ranger School, number one in the number one graduate in his class for the Rangers, served in the first Gulf War, then ended up getting a PhD, I think from Harvard, but got a PhD, then was a wildly successful businessman, and he served as undersecretary, I believe, of the Treasury. So, I mean, this guy is qualified, he's solid. It's just amazing. Hung Gao in Virginia, another Army veteran, Vietnamese immigrant, made it, you know, made it good in this nation. Wonderful story. I could go on and on. There's really some good Republican Senate candidates out there.
Yeah, and I think that the easiest flip tonight will be West Virginia, right, with Manchin retiring, and even though he's technically an independent now, but you have Justice, who looks, the former governor there, Jim Justice, who looks like he'll fly right through. I think Tester's in trouble in Montana with Sheehy, and then Ohio.
Sheehy has put his foot in his mouth and done some other things lately that have given Tester a chance in Montana. Sheehy should have been running away with it. It's going to be a little bit tighter than it should. I can tell you in Wisconsin, businessman Eric Hopte, very impressive. In you want a good story. Nevada, Sam Brown, serving in Afghanistan, had an IED blow up. Basically took off half, took the skin and some bones off of more than half of his face. Incredible story of recovery, multiple surgeries. In fact, it was a national story, everything that he went through. And he made it all the way back, and he's running a spirited, solid campaign in Nevada. Just a lot of really impressive people.
Let's talk about Texas a little bit too, Quinn, while we're talking about these Senate races. And the Democrats will have you believe that Cruz, Ted Cruz, is in some real trouble with Allred. And they've poured some resources down there. Even on national broadcasts, I'm seeing Texas races, right? Especially that one. So there's big money in that race. I know Beto O'Rourke, he was supposed to be the next coming. He lost Cruz, but that was by less than 3 points. What is going on in Texas in this Cruz Allred race?
What's going on is Ted Cruz has grated on a lot of people. His personality has grated on a lot of people. His running for the cameras, his I'm very anti-Trump. I'm very pro-Trump. Now I'm more pro-Trump than everybody. He hasn't impressed people with how, you know, any stability, and he probably doesn't have great constituent service either. He's really smart. He votes like conservatives want him to do, but on a personal level, he hasn't done that well, and that's what makes him slightly vulnerable. His advantage is Texas is thought to still be quite Republican. Mm-hmm. And so he'll probably win again, but he'll have a few anxious moments before he does.
And how's Rick Scott looking in Florida right now?
Again, that's another race that's probably going to be a little too close for comfort. Scott will probably pull it out. Scott, though, has a long history of barely squeaking by. He barely squeaked by in his first Republican primary for governor. Then he barely squeaked by for governor. Then he barely squeaked by for re-election to governor. Then he barely won his Senate seat. So, I mean, he is used to very close races. He also figures out a way to win, and he'll figure out a way to win this time, too.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get predictions from Quinn. Also talk about the presidential, as polls have been open now for almost an hour and a half. Keep those texts coming. Second half of the hour, we'll run through all these different polling place texts and everything you have to say about the elections today as Mobile Mornings continues. That phone number, 251-343-0106.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 825 from the Washington Examiner, Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com as well. As we talk Election Day stuff. Mm-hmm. You're talking about, you know, enthusiasm, which seems to be up, which means that could be good news for Dobson. if you have Trump supporters who are getting out the vote big time. And I know that some of these voting houses are not in the right district, but it speaks to the enthusiasm.
Well, yeah. Barry Moore is picking those up in one, and then Dobson would be picking up, I'd imagine, most of the Trump voters in two. Let's talk about the big one, though, Quinn. And, you know, seven battleground states, basically what this is likely to come down to between Harris and Trump. Is it even worth the polling? And it starts so many years early, and then all the way up until today, I don't know if any polls are dropping today. It just seems like, I don't know, I guess like watching the pregame shows on Saturday and Sunday and they make their predictions, really doesn't matter, kind of fun to watch. But what do you make of all this polling and how it's tightened up and then switched sides and now it's super tight again?
First of all, what matters is less the top line number in the poll, who do you support right now, than the underlying questions that they ask. Sometimes good pollsters ask about attitudes, about, you know, what do you think about the economy, which issues are most important to you, things like that, because people go back and forth in their minds a lot. And this year in particular, there is so much dissatisfaction with both candidates. And I know that might not be the case necessarily in Alabama, but nationwide, there are a lot of people who just are really disgusted with both candidates. So you've got people going back and forth, but they know they won't vote for Harris. But the question is, do I cast no vote at all or cast a write-in, or do I hold my nose and vote for Trump? Mm-hmm. Or there are people who know they can't vote for Trump, but they're saying, do I actually go all the way to vote for Harris, who makes me nervous, or do I instead cast a no vote or a write-in? It's those people moving back and forth between basically no vote and one candidate, rather than people switching from one candidate to the other. And people are doing that back and forth in their minds literally all the way up until they stand in line at the polling booth. They're more undecideds and persuadables in these last few days this time around than they have in either the past three or four times. And that's what makes it so hard to call.
Hard to project. So, yeah, about 2.5 minutes left here. What do you predict? Presidential race, who holds the House, who holds the Senate after tonight?
Okay, this is not my wish. This is my – I went all over the numbers, all over the underlying questions, and all over fundamentals about which candidate, which campaigns are doing what. The Harris campaign is doing two things that the Trump campaign isn't. They're asking for votes from the undecideds in the middle, which this time is basically suburbia. They're actually going out and asking for those votes and making a pitch to those votes, where Trump's only doubling down on his side. And number two, they have a much better ground game. The Trump campaign farmed out their get-out-the-vote operation to two outside groups. The Democrats are running it themselves, and they ran it themselves very well each of the past three elections. For both of those reasons, the asking for the vote of all those persuaded people and the better get-out-the-vote organization, I give a very, very slight edge, predictive, not saying who I would vote for, but a very slight edge to Harris.
And who do you think controls the Senate after tonight? How about the House? Or do you want to make those predictions?
Well, I think the Republicans will control the Senate. The question is, how big do they control the Senate? If they only control it 51 to 49, and two of those 51 are Murkowski of Alaska and Collins of Maine, then it's pretty much a
wash.
50-50 kind of thing. Yeah. They need to elect some of these others, like the ones I mentioned, McCormick, Gao, Brown, Hovde, people like that. They need 53 or 54 votes to really be able to block a Harris agenda or to advance Trump nominees.
And the House?
Think that switches? Yeah, who knows? Too many races?
I would it actually switches, but I'm not, but it's going to be really close.
Okay.
Quinn, we appreciate it. I'll be tuning into your Twitter page throughout the day, see what Quinn thinks is going on, and that's at Quinn Hillier, right, on Twitter?
Yeah, yes, indeed. Just add Quinn Hillier.
All right.
Thanks a lot,
guys. You got a Tuesday with Quinn Hillier on FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:30.
A few million texts to get to. We'll do that right after the break. 251-343-0106 if you want to jump in line. 835 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, Election Day. We'll get to the text, phone lines here in a moment, 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, a local personal injury law firm. They've been doing a great job, and they've been doing it for the folks in our area for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street, getting fair compensation. They'll help you guide you through your case from the time you first talk with one of the members of the team over there at Tobias and Comer Law until it's all over. They don't pass that responsibility, and it is a big responsibility. They don't pass it on to some other lawyer who you've never met and might not even be from the area. Tobias and Comer Law, from car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, they've seen it all. And you could tell that just by browsing through their website. They have all kinds of great information on almost every topic. If you go to TobiasComerLaw.com, you'll get a lot of good info there. You'll also find the phone number there for a free consultation. You can call them up any time of the day and ask about your case, 251-432-5001. That's 251-432-5001. Again, check them out online, TobiasComerLaw.com.
Well, it can. Does anybody have Trump's number? Because it looks like he's got the answer who's going to win. At a rally in North Carolina yesterday, of course, big swing state vote, he told the crowd, "We're leading. All we have to do is close it out. If we get our votes, there's nothing they can do." Now, North Carolina has historically been a red state. In 2020, President Joe Biden lost by a margin of 1.34% in North Carolina. Trump was exclaiming, "I've never lost North Carolina." Trump will... I guess he had four rallies yesterday, and he repeated this over and over. "It's ours to lose." Does that make sense to you? Trump said, "It's ours to lose. If we get everybody out and vote, we've got it." So anyway, very confident Donald Trump in North Carolina yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, there's been some big, basically, I guess you could almost call them forbidden states for either side that they've claimed they have a chance at winning. Republicans are saying they might pull VA, Virginia.
How about that?
And I think a big, if they're able to do that, it'd be huge. But Youngkin, obviously, the governor there, would play a pretty big role in that.
Yep.
Then you saw probably earlier this week a strange poll from the, was it the Iowa Des Moines Register, where they said that they had Harris up by 3 points in Iowa. So both sides, and this is typical gamesmanship, right? They'll say, "Hey, I think we actually, not only were we looking really good in the battlegrounds, we might pull a bellwether state from the other side." And we'll have to wait until tonight to see that. But I don't know how long we'll have to wait this week to know who the winner is, or how long we'll have to wait tonight. Now, you still might have a pretty lengthy wait for Nevada votes, possibly.
Yeah.
Georgia says they're going to get theirs in rather quickly. There's a couple states, a couple battleground states where the count might take another day or two. Remember, Georgia took 16 days last election.
That was insane.
To finalize theirs. I think Pennsylvania took at least four or five days last time. But tonight, just by the trends of how things are looking, once polls begin closing at 6 p.m. our time, 7 p.m. our time, 7:30, 8, we'll see more and more start to shut them down. I think from trends, might be able to pick up a lot about who is the favorite tonight. But then again, 2020, we were sitting in here doing the show that Tuesday night, and things were looking really, really good for Donald Trump. And then, of course,
when we retired for the night,
yeah,
it was looking good.
And then everything changed overnight. So let's look at the text line here. Get a lot to get to. This texter says, "At Church of His Presence in Daphne, long line." Big Enos says, "St. Andrew's polling station in Gulf Shores, more than 100 people in line before the polls opened. There was a brief paper jam in the machine that was cleared quickly and efficiently. The line is long but running smooth." Tony Fowl River said, "Sounds like getting in some polling places today is like getting into Dick Russell's on Saturday morning." That's a tough ticket. Michael says, "MPD SWAT team looks like they're gearing up for a big raid. Tons of guys packing up the tactical truck and unmarked vans." Hey, maybe they're going out to vote, Michael. Maybe they're just gathering the crew, and they're getting out there to one of these polling places. Or maybe they need to keep folks in line. This texter, Mount Vernon, long line, but moving fast. Great turnout. Another texter here, "Gulf Shores polling location on County Road 6 is covered up. I didn't know that there were this many people that lived here." Charles says, "Grand Hall on Hall's Mill, about 150 in line to vote. Parking lot is slammed." Paul says, "At the River Church in Sims to vote. Been voting here for many years. At about this time of day, never seen this many people in line before." Sean, he says, There's some hockey tonight if you get tired of looking at suits standing in front of maps. Leafs, Bruins. Okay, thanks, Sean. CB Carl, talking about those landmark districts in Baldwin County. So he said the previous elections were special elections about zoning, and we voted no. This time it's for the landmark district amendments where we need to vote yes so we're protected into the future. He says Bon Secours, Stapleton, and the White House Fork. Yeah, CB Carl, today is a yes vote if you're in Baldwin County and you want to see those three
protected.
I'm not sure about the past. I know you said previously it was a zoning issue and you voted no. I just looked back at the 2020 Baldwin ballot, and the wording was the exact same. The wording for the amendments, exact same from 2020 when it was Rosenton and Barnwell, I think, then.
Oh, okay.
And then this year where it's Bon Secours, Stapleton, and White House Fork.
First time they were on the ballot, I believe it was about Stockton, and that might have been back in 2014.
Okay.
So anyway, that's how it first landed on the ballot.
But, yes, just to be totally clear today, if you're getting ready to vote in Baldwin County, if you want to see those become landmark districts, which means it would take extra work for those to be annexed into a place,
right,
like a vote, like we've seen,
yep,
then you would vote yes. You would vote yes there.
Some concern in Pennsylvania. Have you seen this story, Dalton?
What is it?
The chair of a Pennsylvania County Election Board updated voters yesterday on the status of 2,500 voter registration and mail-in ballot applications that had been flagged last month as potentially fraudulent and prompted a county statewide investigation into the crucial swing state. Speaking at a press conference in Lancaster County, the commissioner, Ray DiAgostino, said that the 2,500 registration and mail-in ballot applications that had been flagged as suspicious, 57% majority had been confirmed as valid. 17% were confirmed to be fraudulent. The remaining 26% of voter registration applications and mail-in ballot applications are either incomplete or unverified. So there's just a problem with them. So I don't know exactly how that's going to play into
it. And that's in several states. You know, there's been like 1,000 here, 10,000 here, 15,000 there, where, you know, mail-in votes have been questioned. I think was it maybe Arizona where they had some signature matching verification issues.
Yeah.
And they've been able to verify the signatures for a lot of those. But the difference in this time and the 2020 election is, I think, even if there are some dramatic moments at these polling places, especially in, you know, pretty tight battleground places.
Right, Pennsylvania or North Carolina.
Republicans have done a much better job of putting their own people out there as election watchers. Now, you've seen stories that some of them are being turned away. That'll all have to be worked out throughout the day. But there's a lot more Republicans this time who are going to be, I guess, at the very least annoying for some of these different polling places, but paying more attention than was paid back in 2020 when so many crazy things seemed to be going on.
Explain to me, you probably can't help me out on this or on the text line. They're not saying ballots. They're saying 2,500 registration and mail-in ballot applications.
So that would have been people who sent in an application so that they would get a mail-in ballot.
Oh.
And that means that, you know, at this point, if they didn't get those mail-in ballots,
okay, I got it. Okay.
They just need to go and show up to vote.
Yeah.
And Trump, you know, Republicans have gotten a lot more early voting this time, a whole lot more. And the Democrats, while in some states they may have a higher early vote turnout, it's not looking as good as it did for them back in 2020. So,
and again, that may speak to the lack of enthusiasm.
It very well could. The Republicans have made such a big push to get better at the early voting and mail-in voting. But Trump yesterday in PA, and I have to say I agree with him, but he's still kind of saying, you know, I know we pushed out the early vote. I still like it the old way. Here's Trump, if you could turn me up.
Sure.
They're talking about extending hours and stuff. Who ever heard of this stuff? We should have one-day voting and paper ballots.
Van Jones, the former Obama campaign advisor, he was in the Obama team, and he's been on CNN for some time now.
Yeah.
He sees some issues in Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia is where we've got to run up a big margin, but Philly overall has been trending down. The other thing that has me worried is that the Jewish vote in the suburban areas.
How crazy would it be if this comes down to Pennsylvania, like so many folks are saying, and that if Josh Shapiro would have been the one to put Kamala over the edge there in Pennsylvania.
I'll tell you what, you just talk about emotion. If you're a Jewish voter in Pennsylvania, and we know what's going on in the Middle East right now, we know the horrors of what's going on over there, and certainly the horrors of that one day when
Gaza crossed the border. Hamas crossed the border. Yeah,
Hamas crossed that border from Gaza, and then the horrors that they did. You may be disappointed with the length of the retaliation, but what a slap in the face when your governor was not chosen as the running mate. Never stated out loud, but you know and I know the reason he wasn't chosen.
Yeah, that seems to be the reason, right? She didn't want to upset the pro-Palestinian faction of her electorate.
What a slap in the face.
And so now she's, and I don't know how it'll actually turn out with Jewish voters, but they might vote against her because of that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the pro-Palestine voters, we saw it during the primaries, and it seems to be similar here, might not turn out for her because she's showing Israel, you know,
too much favor.
Too much favor, right. So they're kind of in a rock and a hard place there.
It's interesting that Van Jones would say that out loud. Like, we might have messed up. Maybe we didn't make the wrong decision, but the decision that was made could affect Pennsylvania in this way.
T-Bone texting in, I was voter number 230. That's, wow. At Church of His Presence in Daphne, 45-minute wait. He said less than 12 seconds per vote's pretty efficient. He also says, bring the DEET. There's a huge turnout of gnats. So dealing with the elements out there in line.
You'd rather have a swarm of gnats than a swarm of yellow jackets. I can just tell you, that's not a close call.
No, you would have gotten out of line if that happened. It did happen to you someday. Paul says, not many at E.R. Dixon 15 minutes ago.
Interesting.
Gardner says, the real question should be, do I vote for socialism or a constitutional republic? Jace says, the line for Dawes at Surge Church has gone from 20 minutes deep to maybe 5 minutes long. Now's the time to go. Be in and out fast. He also says, regardless of who anyone votes for, it's more than a little disturbing that two-thirds of the ballot is running completely unopposed and at the lower local level where voting truly matters. Yeah, I don't like seeing that either, Jace. I wonder how much of a role the economy plays in turnout in local races. Because, it takes money. Of course, donations help. But for a lot of these, it takes self-funding, right? To at least get yourself going.
To become a candidate, to be on the ballot.
To run, to run a campaign. And when the economy's doing well, might be more people out there that have a little extra cash and they're willing to give it a shot.
Yep.
I don't know. That'd be just kind of interesting to look into. But I agree, Jace. It's not good when you have so many unopposed candidates. Daniel and Foley says, took 1 hour to vote in Bon Secours, was in line with neighbors. Last time I waited this long was Trump v. Hillary. And speaking of that, I want to take us back, a flashback to the night where Donald Trump upset Hillary Clinton and the response from Democrats then. We'll do that here in the next segment. Roger, Baldwin County, text picture. He says, Daphne, and it looks like there's a lot of folks turned out to vote wherever that is. Let people know to double-check their ballots. I vote at Grand Hall on Halls Mill and am in AL2. My wife and I were both given the AL1 ballot instead.
Whoa.
It seems problematic. He says, this texter says, wasn't confident enough about my district to say anything until after we left the polling place and could look it up ourselves. Sure enough, they gave us the wrong ballots, went in, let the poll workers know. They didn't seem terribly concerned, just want to let people know to double check. That seems big. Grand Hall on Halls Mill Road.
Now, it's not going to be one incident. If that's what they're...
it has to be... If you experienced something similar, you went and voted at Grand Hall or elsewhere and received potentially the wrong ballot, let us know at 251-343-0106.
Not a small matter.
Abba Temple, in and out in 10 minutes. Traffic is much worse than the actual line to vote. Charlie says, I just voted at Burns. I looked at the four voting machines. We're all around 200 each and still tons in line. A texter here, David, beautiful turnout in Summerdale. I was in line at 6:55, and it looks like he is, is that a quarter mile back in line?
Wow.
That is a heck of a turnout. Damn Yankee says, long lines inside polls, took an hour to vote. No waiting in line at Dodge Elementary at 8:15. Doesn't have Meta. How many folks signed up to be poll watchers in Tillman's Corner, only to find out that the candy store has been leveled? That is a great joke on an election day. Doesn't have Meta. Randy, heavy turnout at Creekwood Church of Christ on Schillinger. David says, I'd love early voting in Alabama. You have to show your ID. Why not make it more convenient for the voters? J.E. Turner on Lot Road was packed. I was there at 6:15. There were 13 in line, and when the doors opened, the line was around the parking lot.
How about Abba Shrine Temple? They go ahead and have some a fights.
I was going to mention.
Just to entertain the people as they stand in line.
Maybe a gun show on one corner.
Yeah.
Like a much smaller gun show than
sure.
normal. MMA fighting in another corner. Some fair food in the other. And then you vote in the other. That's a great idea.
Entertain the people.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated.
It'd get good turnout.
Speaking of food, Whataburger line, government's still very backed up. There's no voting at Whataburger. It's 8:50 with Dan and Dalton. You got the Hulk Hogan story? I know he's going to be in Fairhope tomorrow.
The pig Fairhope tomorrow morning, Hulk Hogan.
There's two Piggly Wigglies in Fairhope.
So oh.
One's on Greeno Road, 98. One is, I think, nestled in on Bancroft or something downtown.
And so he'll go, and he's pushing his real American beer.
Yeah.
Low carb. That's how he keeps, Hulk.
Yeah.
How he keeps his figure.
Yeah.
And so he'll be one of the Piggly, I need to look up the exact one, but a Piggly Wiggly in Fairhope.
Okay.
Then Rouse's on 98 in Daphne. And then what bar did I say? He was going to be at a bar tomorrow
the bay,
night in Daphne.
Bay.
Top of the Bay.
Top of the Bay, yeah. No. Leanna.
We'll have to.
I have
it pulled up. But Hulk Hogan, just drive around Baldwin County until you find him tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good chance.
Walk into Piggly Wiggly and say, hey, is Hulk here? No.
I want to kick his ass.
Then you say, okay, he's at the other one.
Yeah.
So that's how you can figure out where to be.
That's a great idea. So tonight, the reactions. I think that's what most of us will be waiting for. Beyond who actually wins, which most people want to know. The reactions from the left, maybe reactions from the right, if Trump loses. We could go a number of different ways here as a country after tonight. But remember, back in 2016.
I do remember.
When Trump pulled off the massive upset over Hillary Clinton and impeachment proceedings began not long after.
Imagine that.
I couldn't believe, going back and listening to this, how crazy they were that night. And this was 8 years ago before they had all this other junk they could bring up.
That's why I think that the reaction can't be quite the same if Trump wins this time.
Let me take you back. So this is, the night of and then days after Trump was declared the winner back in 2016. Will we hear anything similar to this? Now, some of these players have come and gone. You don't see a whole lot of Chris Matthews anymore. But here you go. This was from the first Trump win over Hillary. Hopefully I edited this correctly.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
For real wisdom, lightning round.
If Trump wins, how about bursting into tears and screaming for the next 45 minutes?
Well, America is crying tonight. I'm not sure how much of America, but a very, very significant portion. And I mean literally crying.
Everybody is crying and so upset. And it is the end of their world.
Feels like the end of the world.
We were on Lifetime last
night.
And I was slowly getting drunk is what happened to me.
How do we explain how this is possible?
How did this happen? Experienced politician versus racist fake gynecologist.
Get your abortions now. Because we're going to be and we're going to have to live with it.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us.
Oh,
this is our country.
God.
This is a different earth today than it was 24 hours ago. It's a different place of because it just is different.
The woman who President Obama called the most qualified person ever to run for the White House couldn't break through. The question remains, who can?
Deeper concerns tonight that the world's shining light of democracy has gone dark.
Decency lost last night, and that's what's so hurtful about this.
This was a white lash. This was a white lash against a changing country. It was a white lash against a black president in part. And that's the part where the pain comes.
I kind of push back against the advancement of African Americans, of Hispanics, of women, of Muslim Americans.
It is a mourning moment for those people, and it is a moment filled with fear.
Because I'm on this network and people know my attitudes about things. They come up to me and they're scared, depressed, despair. Desperate even.
And it goes on and on. And that was shared by Breaking 911 on Twitter yesterday. But that was 8 years ago. What happens if he wins tonight? What are these people going to be saying?
I don't know. But I forgot about the white lash. That was
voting
cute.
Against that Hillary Clinton.
Was
a white lash.
She's white. So, but he tied Obama to her like it was a vote against. It was a vote against Obama's wishes. Well, of course, Obama was wishing that a Democrat won.
Mm-hmm.
But the friction between Hillary Clinton and Obama and Obama and Biden and Biden and Harris, they ain't all going to Thanksgiving together.
I would say no. It'll be entertaining, whatever happens the rest of the day. By the way, we'll have our show live tonight on Facebook starting at 7, and then on the station, 106.5 at 8. Jeff Porcho on the way next.